Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Saddlemaker's Son by Kelly Irvin. Narrated by Angela Brazil. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. 1. Alone at last. Rebecca Lance tugged the creaking shed door shut and leaned against it. The folded piece of paper from her sister, Layla, weighed heavy as a stone in her hand. When had she managed to tuck it into the two-seater Rebecca drove with Susan to and from the school 5 days a week? Did she slip in while Rebecca was listening to the younger scholars read aloud? Surely not. Layla had a baby daughter to think about now, and a husband. She couldn't be roaming the countryside delivering notes. The fact that she had done just that made Rebecca's stomach rock. Guilt swirled there, mixing with a swelling ache to see her sister and a baby niece who would see her auntie as a stranger. A plain woman such as herself should forgive, no matter how much Layla's decision to leave hurt, no matter how it left Rebecca with little chance of finding love herself among the young men who looked at her and knew exactly what Layla had done. Just because Layla had given up everything to follow Jesse into the English world didn't mean Rebecca would leave too. She longed to scream out those words at the next singing, put them to music, write her own song. Still, it wouldn't change the looks on the faces of those boys she'd known her entire life. Deer caught in the headlights of an English truck barreling toward them on the highway. She had to open the note, read it. Its weight seemed to increase as each second ticked by. The cracks in the weathered boards of the shed allowed afternoon sun to filter through in stripes, like bars. The April sun was warm, as if reminding Rebecca Texas didn't wait around for summer like the northern states did. Her eyes adjusted to the dusky interior after a few seconds. The smells of mold, decaying wood, and dirt floated in the air. Old egg crates, a broken desk, a stack of chairs, a wooden door with white, peeling paint filled the small room. She wasn't a coward. Swallowing against the knot of apprehension that always choked her when she did something of which her mudder would not approve, Rebecca unfolded the single sheet of notebook paper and peered at Layla's neat block writing. "Dear Schwester, hope you are well. We must meet. I need to talk to you face to face. Come to where the school path meets the road Friday at lunch. I'll be driving the green VW bug." "Can you believe I drive?" "Give Hazel a kiss for me. Love, Layla." Inhaling the ripe scents that reminded her of how everything returned to the earth in the end, Rebecca reread the note a second time. Layla skipped along in life with nary a thought for how her actions affected others. Abdicating her family, or inviting Rebecca to a meeting that would cause her great trouble if Mudder or Mordecai found out. Rebecca's job as an aide to Susan King wasn't much, but it was all she had. She would never be allowed to get a job in town. Every day since that Christmas Eve 2 years ago, Mudder and Mordecai had watched Rebecca, never letting her go far from their sight, as if waiting for her to take flight, too. Mudder blamed Layla's exposure to the English world while working at the daycare in town for all her actions. Not love. For surely it was love that made a person do these strange, inexplicable things. Rebecca wouldn't know. How could she when the boys avoided her like poison ivy? At 19, Rebecca had no special friend and no chance of having one. Pressing the note to her chest, she closed eyes that burned with tears she refused to shed. In the 2 years since Layla had left, Rebecca had never seen her sister or the baby Grace, now 10 months old. Why now? And with such short notice? Plenty of time to forgive and forget, as she was called to do. Yet here she stood with pain and anger barricaded together behind the walls of a hardened heart. She had to see Layla, if for no other reason than to say those words. Saying them was the first step in letting the past go. Leastways, that was what the bishop would say. A sound, like a muffled sneeze, broke the silence. Rebecca jumped and dropped the note. The one place she'd thought to be alone. Hello? Nothing. Apprehension filled her lungs, making it hard to breathe. Her heart pounded. Rebecca scooped up the note and took 2 steps back. She put her shaking hand on a broken desk that leaned against the wall. Who's there? Something or someone scuttled along the far wall behind the stack of egg crates. Rebecca took a step toward the door. I know you're there. I'll go outside and you can come out. I won't hurt you. Such bravado. What if a prisoner had escaped from the prison near Beeville again? Memories of her brother-in-law Phineas's bruised face and bloodied arm spun through her mind's eye. Phineas and Deborah had escaped, and the prisoner from the McConnell unit had been captured, but not before damage had been done. She whirled, jerked open the door, and stumbled into the fresh air and light. A young girl shot past her, dragging a little boy by the hand. The boy, dressed in faded blue jeans and a gray T-shirt that might have been white at one time, stumbled and fell to his knees. A filthy, bedraggled Mickey Mouse backpack weighed him down. The girl, who looked 11 or 12, paused and jerked him to his feet. They were both all bones and no flesh, all angles and points. Their faces were dirty, their dark hair matted to their heads. Tears streaked the boy's face. "Wait, wait, who are you?" Rebecca hurled herself after them. The girl sped up, headed for the stand of live oaks, hackberries, and junipers at the edge of the schoolyard. Stop! We have food! Comida! The girl halted. She swiveled and stared back at Rebecca, the expression on her brown face a mixture of hope and suspicion. Her arm went around the boy, who looked about Rebecca's little sister Hazel's age, maybe 5 or 6. His almond-shaped eyes were huge in his thin face. Comida? Rebecca had studied Spanish in an old textbook she'd found in a second-hand bookstore for almost 3 years now, in hopes of one day being allowed to cross into Mexico when the older folks made their trips to Progreso, to the dentist, or to buy medicines. She knew what the words were, but had no idea if she was pronouncing them correctly. Food. Comida. Are you hungry? The girl nodded hard. Mi hermano tiene hambre. They were brother and sister. Who they were and why they were in the district's schoolhouse shed didn't matter as much to Rebecca as the idea that children were going without food. She pointed to them, then the schoolhouse, and put her hand on her chest. You come inside with me. The boy began to back away, dragging his backpack with him. He shook his head, fear etched across his elfin features. You want me to bring the food to you? The girl tugged at her brother. See, no one will hurt you, I promise. What's your name? Nombre. The girl cocked her head toward the boy, who pressed his face against her shirt. Him Diego. She thumped her chest. Lupe. I'm Rebecca. She tapped her chest with her index finger. Wait here. I'll be back. Don't go anywhere. No one will bother you out here. She dashed across the yard, hopped over the two steps that led to the small porch, and tugged open the door. Inside, she skidded to a stop. The first graders stood at the front of the room, reading aloud to Susan. The middle grades wrote essays while the older boys and girls graded the younger children's arithmetic tests. She sidled over to where Susan stood, arms crossed, a patient smile plastered on her plump face. There you are. You said you were going to get your lunchbox from the buggy. I thought maybe you decided teaching wasn't for you and went home. Susan chuckled and patted Mary on the shoulder. Good job. Molly, you're next. I need to tell you something. Rebecca leaned in and whispered, not wanting to get the entire school riled up. Over by the stove. Susan's eyebrows arched. Caleb, come listen to Molly read for me. Grinning, Caleb popped up from his seat. Knowing her younger brother as she did, Rebecca assumed he was thrilled to get out of writing his essay, even if only for a few moments. Susan followed her to the long cabinets that lined one wall, providing storage space for lunchboxes and school supplies. Something wrong? Nay, well, maybe, I don't know. Rebecca drummed her fingers on the countertop. She had a peanut butter and wild grape jam sandwich in her cooler. Two oatmeal cookies, some cold fried potatoes. Not enough for two hungry children. I found two Kinner hiding in the shed. Susan swung around toward the rows of desks. Her hand went up, her chubby finger pointing, and she began to count in a whisper. Nay, not ours. I'm not sure where they came from, but... Did you ask them where they came from? Susan's schoolteacher voice commanded an answer. What were they doing in the shed? Hiding, I guess. Why? I don't know. They don't speak much English. They're from Mexico? I don't think so. They sounded different. Why did you leave them out there? They were afraid to come in. Why? I don't know. What do you know? Just that they're scared and dirty, and it doesn't look like they have anybody to take care of them, and they're hungry. She closed her mouth and waited. Susan rubbed her upturned nose with one finger, her full lips puckered and forehead wrinkled under a tendril of brown hair that had escaped her cap. We might need to get Mordecai. Susan's brother, Rebecca's stepfather, would know what to do, and he was the deacon. Still, it would take 30 minutes round trip in the buggy to get to the farm and back, and then most likely Mordecai would be in the fields tending his beehives. Can't we feed them first? They look starved. Susan chewed on her lip for a second. I can't abide seeing a child go hungry. Me neither. Rebecca grabbed her lunchbox. I have one PB&J sandwich. Susan scooped up the red cooler that had her name written in black marker on both sides. I have venison sausage on a biscuit. The reading had stopped sometime during their conversation. Rebecca looked over her shoulder. Their scholars numbered 15, and every one of them stared at Susan and her. Teacher, what's going on? Of course, Caleb, as one of the cheekiest, had the nerve to voice the question written all across their faces. Is someone out there? We have visitors. Susan made it sound like the typical parent visit. They did come by, occasionally, sometimes with a hot meal or dessert, But runaway children who spoke another language, that never happened. Mind your P's and Q's and keep working. Rebecca scurried to the door, the lunchboxes in her hands. Susan followed. You're sure they're alone? There's no one waiting in the trees out there. No one I saw. They seem completely alone. She waited while Susan opened the door for her. Her aunt looked back at the classroom, her expression stern. Sally, you're in charge. Everyone continues doing exactly what they're doing now. Yes, teacher, the scholars responded in unison. Rebecca had no doubt they would do as they were told. She couldn't fathom how Susan did it, but her scholars not only obeyed her, they loved her and wanted to please her. Rebecca scurried across the small porch, her gaze on the steps. Lupe! Diego!
Nay, I'm Tobias Beiler. Who are you?
Rebecca craned her head. A man sat in a wagon, his face hidden in the shadow of a straw hat, haloed by the midday sun. An older man, cookie-cutter in size and lean build, sat ramrod straight next to him, mammoth hands resting on bended knees. Behind them, five children of varying ages filled the back of the wagon. Rebecca settled the lunchboxes on the ground and raised her hand to her forehead to shield her eyes.
There was a boy and a girl out here. Did you see where they went?
The little boy and girl ran away when Tobias yelled at them.
A little girl with a lisp, who held two dolls clutched to her chest, volunteered this startling information in a tone that said she didn't approve. She stood and pointed.
They ran into those trees.
You yelled at them? Rebecca knew better than to scold a man, any man, but especially one she didn't know. Still, she couldn't help herself.
They're hungry. They're children.
Tobias lifted his hat, revealing brown hair over green eyes in a tanned face that held a bemused expression. He found her outburst funny, somehow. He slapped the hat back on his head as if he had all the time in the world to consider her comment.
I just missed running over the boy when he ran out in front of the wagon. I thought a shout was in order. Tobias?
The other man had the same deep voice and accent that spoke of somewhere north of the Mason-Dixon line.
We're newcomers. Let's not get off on the wrong foot.
But, Dad,
we brought the Kinner by to see where they'll start school tomorrow. I know there's only a couple of weeks left, but they're chomping at the bit to meet some of the other Kinner around here.
Tobias's dad smiled at Susan, who stood next to Rebecca with her hands on her hips.
I reckon they're not so excited about school itself, sorry to say. I'm Levi Beiler, your new neighbor. You must be the teacher.
Why didn't he think Rebecca was the teacher? She opened her mouth. Susan's hand touched her arm. She shut her mouth.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Susan King, and this is Rebecca Lance.
Susan seemed to have lost her schoolteacher voice. The words were soft, almost hesitant. She tilted her head as if looking around Levi.
Five of you. That's a nice addition to our numbers. Y'all are welcome to come in and meet the other scholars.
What about the boy and girl?
Susan's glare forced Rebecca to stop. The children tumbled from the wagon and trotted to the door, introducing themselves to teacher as they tromped by. Rebecca caught the names. Reuben, Micah, Ida, Nyla, and Liam, offered in tones that ranged from soft and respectful to downright giggly. Liam, the youngest, barely whispered his name with a cheeky grin before he scampered up the steps. Susan and Levi followed. Tobias hopped from the wagon and then planted himself next to Rebecca.
I'll help you look.
He towered over her. Up close, he looked even more solid and broad through the chest. Tearing her gaze from his beefy arms, Rebecca took a breath.
Why would you do that?
Because it's obvious you'll never forgive me if I don't.
We're called to forgive no matter what.
Her tone sounded tart in her ears. If he only knew how hard it was for her to take her own advice, what a hypocrite she was. She worked to soften her tone.
It would be wrong to hold a grudge.
Do you always do what's right?
Her hand went to the spot where she'd tucked Layla's note inside a torn seam on the back side of her apron. He asked too many questions, and his green eyes seemed to see too much.
I try.
Me too.
His shadow made him seem 10 feet tall. Rebecca's neck hurt from looking up at him.
I don't think we should go off on our own.
They're only children. You'll be safe with me.
The faint sarcasm that tinged his words didn't make her feel safe. Just the opposite. 2. Tobias lengthened his stride. Rebecca Lance might be thinner than his shadow, but she made up for it with a powerful energy that propelled her tall, for a girl, frame across the schoolyard toward a cluster of what passed for trees in South Texas. The exertion, or maybe nerves, brought out the pink along her high cheekbones. She looked neither left nor right, and certainly not directly at him. He had a sudden urge to laugh, not at her, but at the idea that any woman would be nervous around him. Despite having reached the ripe old age of 22, he had little experience with women. At least, not positive experience.
Are you coming or what?
Rebecca's gaze darted somewhere in the vicinity of his left shoulder. Her blue eyes were as brilliant as any he'd ever seen under chestnut hair that lined the edge of her cap.
They can't have gone too far.
They seemed in an awful big hurry to me.
Forcing his gaze from her face, Tobias veered between a live oak and a large, sprawling nopales cactus. No little boy hiding there.
Maybe they changed their minds.
About food?
Nay.
She sounded aggrieved, as if he personally had starved the poor little ones.
Didn't you see how thin they were?
Thin and dirty and scared. He let his gaze sweep the carpet of black-eyed Susans just beginning to bloom. Having had a hand in raising his younger brothers and sisters, Tobias knew all about the voracious appetite of a growing child. Worrying about them had become like second nature, like wearing an overcoat year-round.
Lupe! Diego! Come out! I'm sorry I yelled at you!
For the first time, Rebecca rewarded him with a smile. It came with a set of dimples that made her look even younger than he first thought. She was too pretty for words. She shook her head.
They don't speak much English, but good try.
She cupped her hands around her mouth.
Lupe! Diego! Por favor! Hey, comida!
A southern accent gave the jumble of unfamiliar words a strange lilt.
What does that mean?
Please, there's food.
She ducked her head and studied the overgrown weeds.
At least I think it does.
You know a lot of Spanish?
Nay, and I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing the words right. I got them from a book.
Pretty and smart.
Vayan, go.
The voice, high and trembling, floated from behind a mesquite tree.
I'm sorry I scared your little brother.
Tobias paused, letting Rebecca move closer first.
I didn't want to hit him with the wagon.
We go.
The voice shook.
We go.
No, stay.
Rebecca seemed so determined to help these two children. Pretty, smart, and kind. She held out a hand as if offering it to the unseen children.
At least eat, and then you can decide what to do next. Comida, then go. On the school porch.
Hombre malo.
Rebecca's glance held something Tobias couldn't read. What did she say?
She says you're a bad man.
I am not a bad... Tobias clamped his mouth shut. Rebecca shook her head.
She's probably scared of all strange men. Who knows what has happened to her? Running around like this with no one to protect her.
No one to protect her. Tobias's gut twisted at the thought. He saw to it every day that his own brothers and sisters were protected. I'm not Malo. He jerked his head at Rebecca.
How do you say Gut? Tell her I'm Gut.
Are you? She thought he was a bad person because he'd scared off these Kinner. I'm not bad. The corners of her lips turned up. She was pulling his leg in the middle of this situation, apparently of his making.
No malo. Bueno. Hombre bueno.
Lupe stuck her head out from behind the tree. She didn't look convinced.
Malo?
No. Bueno.
Rebecca inched closer.
Come out, please. Food? Comida?
Diego shot past his sister and scampered across the clearing.
Comida! Diego, no!
Lupe followed, one hand outstretched as if to pull him back.
Cuidado!
Why was she so afraid? Tobias put both hands in the air to show her he held nothing. Nothing that could hurt her.
I'll go back to the wagon and wait.
He turned and walked away, acutely aware of the sound of Rebecca's soft, sweet murmurs that soothed and cajoled. His own breath eased, and the knotted muscles between his shoulders relaxed. No wonder she was a teacher, or teacher's aide. She had a way with children. A few minutes later, the two runaways, they had to be runaways from somewhere down south, were seated on the porch, plowing through sandwiches, pickled okra, and cold fried potatoes. They had gained a modicum of trust in Rebecca, especially after she produced a handful of oatmeal cookies. Her expression grim, Lupe seemed to have one eye on the food and the other on him. He kept his distance for fear she'd take off like a deer trying to escape a hunter. After a few minutes, he reached into the back of the wagon and rummaged in the burlap bag Martha kept there for Liam and the other little ones. They were growing like weeds and always, always hungry. Sure enough, two beautiful, shiny Granny Smith apples. With a light step and a careful, neutral expression, he walked toward the porch. Lupe stopped chewing, the sandwich suspended in midair. Fear, the likes of which no child should ever feel, swirled across her face. He'd seen that kind of fear in the skittish horses his dad trained, as if they were sure their last day on earth had arrived. Here. He held out the apples, which fit nicely in his overgrown hand.
Apple.
He glanced at Rebecca. How do you say apple? She shrugged. I don't remember that one.
You give them to her.
Rebecca picked the apples from his hand without touching him.
Donkey.
There's more. Martha keeps a supply of snacks in the bag.
Let's start with this.
Rebecca rubbed an apple on her apron and held it out. Lupe took it as if receiving a special gift. She handed it to her brother.
Diego eat? He more hungry?
Tobias doubted that. Give her the other one. Rebecca obliged. Lupe took a big bite. The sound of crunching filled the air as she demolished the sweet treat. Juice ran down her chin, leaving a trail in the filth
that covered her skin. He itched for a wash rag. Martha would have them cleaned up in no time. He could
Sample complete. Ready to continue?